find an entrance into our hearts. Make us all to overcomers when we hear your word. Do you want to be an overcomer? Good. Amen. At least more than one of you said yes. Praise the Lord. It's good to have a time here together. That we have a focus, not just to have fellowship, not just to have a good time together, but we have a goal. We have a goal. And we hope very much that the Lord will come soon. This is very precious. It's a precious hope that our Lord will come back soon. And how do I feel about that? How do we feel about that? What does that work in us? What projects do you still want to finish before the Lord comes back? What things do you still have on your bucket list that you want to do and experience before the Lord comes back? The Lord asked me this question recently, and my answer was, Lord, I want to be an overcomer. I want to overcome. That's what's important to me. Everything else that doesn't get accomplished before the Lord comes back doesn't matter. But that is important, that we become overcomers. And to overcome, yeah, sometimes you say, I in German you say, I overcame a certain problem. I had a problem and I was able to solve it. Or maybe I always forget where I left my keys or where I left my phone, and I was able to overcome that. Is that what we're talking about when we talk about overcoming? Or I finally overcame my laziness to clean up the basement. I finally made it. I overcame it, yeah? These are things we do need to take care of, that we do need to do, but that's not the kind of overcoming and conquering that the Word talks about. In the spring, we had 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. And what does 1 John say that the young people need to overcome? All the young people should know it by heart. What do we need to overcome? The evil one. Can you overcome evil? It doesn't say overcome your laziness. It says overcome the evil one. Overcome evilness. And 1 John 4 talks about the Antichrist. It says, you, little children, have overcome him, the Antichrist. Wow. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Let's read it all together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We are of God, you are of God, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 5, verse 4. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So it's possible to overcome the many antichrists. In chapter 5, it says, that which is born of God overcomes the world, and the world is under the sway of the wicked one. And this is what we're talking about when we talk about overcoming. Yeah. First John shows us that the life that God gave us is light, is life. It is an overcoming life. It overcomes the world. And last night, we heard about the great warfare in which we are standing, the evil one. Yeah, in Revelation, we see the great dragon, the devil, the old serpent, Satan, who has deceived the entire world. This is whom we must overcome. Can you overcome that? How can you overcome this great dragon? You need the Lord. But this is why we are here. Overcoming is not just with regard to small matters, but it's about this warfare between God and the devil. The great dragon. To overcome the great dragon. Don't you want to cast out the great devil? It's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Who deceives the whole world, who has deceived so many people. He we should cast out. He we should overcome. Him we should overcome. In French, it's called the conqueror, the overcomer. The word for overcoming is conqueror. So you should conquer the devil. You should conquer him. Overcoming means conquering. That's a really strong statement. We need such a mindset that we are standing in the midst of this warfare. You can see how the devil approached God. He came before God, and you can see that it's really about this warfare between God and the devil. That's where all the tribulation comes from. And at the end, the devil had nothing more to say. He couldn't say anything. But how can we prevail? On our own, we cannot. We are so inconsistent, weak, unreliable, weakened by sin. And yet, this serpent of old and the great dragon, we should cast him out. How do we do that? How is it possible? That's why it's good that we read the verse in 1 John 4. It says, "For you are of God, little children, and you have overcome him." It's in past tense. How have you already overcome him? For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. Amen. And what is born of God can overcome the world. This is something very normal. Sometimes when we think about overcoming, it sounds so strenuous, or you think you have to be a super Christian to be able to overcome. Only the super Christians can overcome. But here it says, what is born of God overcomes the world. So that means overcoming is normal because it's God's life that is completely different than the world, where the enemy and the devil has no room at all. Praise the Lord. And when we see this, that he who is in you, he's in you, he is greater than he who is in the world. If we really grasp this truth, then we can end the meeting, because that's my burden for today. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. It's not that complicated. He who is in you is greater than the devil, greater than the serpent of old, and anything that this great dragon is able and capable of doing. Yeah, we read it. Maybe now we have it in our minds. And now you could say, okay, that's what we want to talk about. But the problem is that we haven't really grasped this reality. Often we live without him. And then we think, oh, overcoming is so hard. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We need to look to this Lord, to look to this Christ who is living in you. If you know him, if you have him before your eyes, then you don't need to wait. Then you can simply overcome. During this entire time, and when we read the word, we should have this Lord before our eyes. If you know him, it's not problematic or difficult at all to overcome. We read John 16:33. This I spoke to you, that you would have peace in me. We all like this portion of the verse, right? To have peace. That's so nice. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Then the verse continues. It says, in the world you will have tribulation. And earlier when we were reading this word, I didn't like this part of the verse that much. The first part I can enjoy, to have peace. But then it says, but be courageous, be of good courage. Yeah, tribulation is like pressure. Are you under pressure? Do you feel like you're being pressured from all sides? We saw this with the Lord. The Lord Jesus, he led a very simple life. Did he go on vacation when he's at home? Wherever he went, he encountered tribulation. They were even waiting for him, lurking for him, just waiting for him to make a mistake, trying to trick him, trying to make him fall. At every turn, he had tribulation. And Paul also wrote, what will separate us from the love of God? And he mentions tribulations, the sword, fear. Did Paul have such a difficult life? Where does this tribulation come from? If I'm just at home, relaxing, on holiday at home, I don't have any tribulation. The tribulation comes when you start fighting. When you stand in battle against the devil with the Lord, then you will encounter tribulations. If you're just the same as your colleagues, just the same as everyone else in the world, you just live your life, then you will not encounter many tribulations. Even as a Christian, you will not encounter many tribulations. But when you consecrate yourself to the Lord and you want to overcome, and you see that you're standing in the midst of this warfare, and you want to cast out the devil, that you stand against all darkness, then you will experience much tribulation. And then what do we do? What is our life like? Do we seek a life without tribulation, an easy life, an easygoing life? Then you're not an overcomer. But if we stand against the enemy, there will be tribulation. But then it says, be of good courage, not just be of good cheer, but be bold, be courageous. I have overcome the world. We need a courageous spirit, that we do not shrink back when we encounter tribulation, but to stand against the enemy. Praise the Lord. We have a spirit of boldness, a spirit of courage to stand in every tribulation. Yesterday, we heard about the warfare. Throughout the entire Bible, you see it. It's really a world war. When you go into this world war, then your life will be full of tribulation. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. In our soul, we all look for comfort. We look for the easy way, the path of least resistance. But the Lord overcame every tribulation. He did not shrink back. And he is in you. You have him in you who can withstand every tribulation, every suffering. In John 14, verse 30, If you have it, we can read it together. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Who among us is able to say such a thing, that the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, has nothing in you? I think none of us are able to claim this. But there is someone where the ruler of this world will come and he has nothing in him, nothing in his speaking, nothing in his minds. The enemy has zero room in him. His self is completely under control. Later we will see how the ruler of this world will come. But we know that Christ has, in Christ, the enemy has nothing. How do we know that? Because the enemy tried it out. He tried to tempt the Lord Jesus in all sorts of manners. We read the enemy, he's the one who deceived the entire world, the whole world, in Revelation 12, verse 9. That means the enemy is very sly. He can find a way to deceive each person in this world. Matthew calls him the deceiver, the betrayer. He approached. This is his main job. From morning till night, he is accusing. And if one thing doesn't work, then he will try something else. And this is how he did it with Christ. This is how he tempted Christ. He started with the outer things, all of the riches of this world, honor, riches. That's really a temptation. Or to tempt him with bread when he's very hungry. And these are fundamental things. They're not bad things. He didn't say, here's somebody, kill them. He gave him bread when he was hungry. He gave him delightful things. But praise the Lord overcame. He was tested. He was tempted in every manner. But the enemy, the devil, had nothing in him. Praise the Lord. For me, at least, it just has to be the right combination of circumstance. And then I become very weak. It can be money. It can be anything that tempts you, that stirs up desire in your soul. You just have to be in the right circumstance. And these circumstances are normally not in the meeting. It happens a lot of times when you're alone. When you are alone, that's when these circumstances all fall into place. And then the enemy, the devil, will come and tempt you and try to make you fall. But there are very precious verses in Hebrews. How did the Lord Jesus overcome? He didn't overcome him from the high heavens. He didn't. In Hebrews 2, verse 17, it says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren. It's Hebrews 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren. He put on flesh and blood. In verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Praise the Lord. So when the conqueror comes, when the deceiver comes, think of the Lord who has become the same as you in all things. He put on flesh and blood, and he was tempted in all things. In Hebrews 4, it says that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Verse 15, Hebrews 4, verse 15. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Praise the Lord. This is so sweet that he was tempted in all ways as we are, in all points. That means there is nothing where the Lord cannot help you. This sympathy with our weaknesses, Right? How does he sympathize with you? Does he say, oh, poor Mark. He's got it bad. It's not easy for him. Oh, yeah, and we're all so weak. Yeah, maybe that's how I sympathize with a brother. But the Lord, he sympathizes because he's been through it himself. And he will help you to get out of it. He'll aid you through it because he's gone through it himself. He will help you cast out the enemy, to push the devil back. That's the help and the sympathy that the Lord gives you. My sympathy are just words. But the Lord's sympathy is to aid you to overcome the devil. It's so, so wonderful. It says, in all points, he was tempted as we are. There's no exception. Sometimes we think, this situation is too much. This is too hard. Or if I had different circumstances, or if I were in a different situation, then it would be easier. I heard from saints who live further away in Asia. They said, oh yeah, you in Germany, everything is so peaceful. Life is so good for you there. It's easy for you to overcome there. You can just abide in the Lord. So easy. But for us, we have so many temptations where we are. Is that how it is? The Lord says, no matter where you are, no matter where you lead your life, no matter where you live, you will always be tempted. The devil will always find a way to tempt you, whether you think it's easy, whether you think it's hard. The Lord was tempted in all things, and whether we are here or in Asia, we can lean upon the same Christ who will help us, to aid us to overcome. This is amazing. We have the same Christ. In every matter, Paul says, I have learned the secret. Sometimes we think, first I need time locked away in my chamber, and then I'll be able to overcome. But what do you do if you find yourself in a situation where you don't have time? Maybe they're in a turmoil situation at home. There's so much going on, or at work, and your flesh and yourself wants to come out very quickly. What do you do? Well, the Lord was tempted in all points, but without sin. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So let us see this and grasp it. Also, for the future. John said in 1 John, you have overcome the antichrists. And when the Lord's coming comes closer, there will be even more antichrist. The world will be more antichrist-like. But the Lord who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We really need to expand our horizon in our minds. Don't just look at your own problems. I need to overcome my own problems. We need to have the mindset that we want to cast out the devil. In Revelation 12, when the man-child is raptured to heaven, then the enemy was cast out of heaven, and he was very angry. And today, the devil is very angry. How can you tell that the devil is angry? Because he does everything he can to stop God's work. He really tries everything in his power to somehow delay the Lord's coming back, to somehow distract the overcomers and the Christians. That's why we need to see the Lord. He didn't just overcome as a man. We treasure that he became a man. We treasure his humanity and that he withstood all temptations. But we also treasure the resurrection, because the resurrection shows that God, that Jesus overcame the devil and the death. And the ascension shows that he was set in the heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 1:19, Paul prays here that we would see what is the abundance of his strength. Where? In Christ? that we would see what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward whom? Toward us who believe. And in verse 20, what kind of power is this? That which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. This power works in us who believe, who we believe. The Lord, when he resurrected from the dead, what did he do? It says he disarmed the mights and the principalities. He disarmed the mights and principalities. Today, when presidents and the leaders wage war, imagine a leader of a country wants to wage war against a country, but he has no weapons. If he is disarmed, no one will pay him any mind. But the Lord, when he resurrected, he disarmed the devil. That is the greatest victory. Why? Because death is really deeply stuck in us and it wants to lame us. Revelation says that Jesus has the key for death and Hades. What do you need a key for? If you're locked up somewhere, if you're in a prison cell, how do you get out of a prison cell? You need the key. And often, death is like a prison cell for us. We think, I got off on the wrong foot today. It's a bad day today. It's over. Today, I cannot overcome anymore. Now I should say something about Jesus. I can't. Or my mood, myself, my soul. It can be like a prison cell for me so often. And the devil wants to keep us captive, prisoner in death, in ourself. Why? Because then he can do whatever he wants with us. This is a part of this warfare in which we stand. But praise the Lord has the key of Hades and death. Have you ever experienced and taken Christ as the key and said, Lord, give me the key so I can escape from the prison of my mood, from the captivity of my mind. You have the key to set me free. I take you now as my key. Or sometimes we reach our limit and we think, it's enough. I can't do it anymore. The Lord has the key. Praise the Lord that we can overcome the devil. Ephesians 1 also says that he was raised him from the dead and seated him. It's chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verse 20. Seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. For me, it was hard to comprehend this seated in the heavenly places. What does that mean? Because I thought, okay, the Lord is up there seated in the heavenly places, but I'm down here in earth. We know that the Lord died for us, that he gave us the forgiveness of sins. This is practical for us. We can enjoy this. And when we look at our experience in the meeting, the Passover feast, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, this is easy for us to grasp. Also, the Feast of the First Fruits, resurrection from the dead. But how often do the saints bring experiences of the Pentecost? Why? Because we lack an understanding or an awareness for the warfare in which we stand. If I do not see that I am in the midst of warfare and the devil is doing everything he can to knock me down, then I'm just in my own realm. I'm lacking a mindset, right? I see I've fallen, I've sinned, I need forgiveness, I need humanity. This is all very good and that's wonderful. But we also need the mindset of to see Christ seated in the heavenly places on the throne. We need this to wage war. How much of an awareness do you have that you are in the midst of a battle, that you are in the midst of warfare? Often I just see my own life. When I pray for myself. I pray for my family. I pray for my work, my job. I pray for the day. And then I have to hurry up and go to work. And then I'm done. But where is my awareness that I am in a warfare for the battle that I have to fight today? For this, we need the Feast of Pentecost to expand our horizon, that we are ascended with the Lord, sitting in the heavenly places with Him, that we have His view of the world. And not only was He seated in the heavenly places, but He became the ruler above all principality and power. He is the ruler of the kings of all the earths, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. It's Ephesians 1:21. So no matter whom you're up against, it can be the mightiest ruler in this world. He who is in you is greater. Let us see this. He who is resurrected, He who has ascended, we can overcome the enemy. It's not just the humanity of the Lord and that He was tested. This is very precious. But also that He has the victory, that He is on the throne. The Word says that He wants to give us the victory. Praise the Lord for such a Christ. Therefore, John is able to say in 1 John that you have overcame Him in past tense, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I really hope that as of now, we can say that He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus.